Matthew chapter 26. So every single week, it all works out flawlessly, but today, for some reason, it gave me trouble. I always have the lesson on my computer as a PDF. And I'm able to go through there and highlight and mark it up and all those things, and I save it, and I send it to my tablet. Thank you, sir. Okay. And it's on my tablet, no problem, but the markups aren't there, the highlighting and the different things I use to help guide me through the slides and whatever, so I don't know why that is, but we will manage. Amen? There's always a reason for those things. Sometimes it's to teach the hard-headed leader that, hey, oh boy. Well, Matthew chapter 26, let me advance this slide. We had another lesson like this where there was additional references, and I didn't put them on your sheets. If you want to take a moment, just write those additional. Those are the parallel stories from Mark and also from Luke. So if you want to jot those down, I'll hold that slide there for a second. And we've been with Peter in this school of discipleship, if you please, and we've learned some great lessons, and some of those lessons Peter has learned the hard way. And I call that the school of hard knocks, right? And so today we're going to continue on. He's going to learn a lesson about prayer, a very good lesson. And we'll mainly see it from Matthew 26. The other passages, as you can see, Mark is 10 verses, and Luke is 7 or so. But we won't have, if we take time to read all that, it'll really cut into our lesson. So we will reference them throughout the lesson. But the main reading comes from Matthew chapter 26. So let's go there. And as you can see, we're picking it up in verse 36. So you follow along as I read. We'll read down to verse 45. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. If you can imagine the Lord, of course, this is the scene we call the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just a short time before Jesus will be betrayed, and of course then the mock trial, and then on to Calvary to be crucified. Jesus, of course, as God, knows what's coming before him. We've talked about that in other lessons, and even though he knew, he proceeded anyway. This was the will of the Father. This is why he came, was to go to that cross. But even though his godness, if you please, knew all that, his manness, his human side, still, the verse here says, let's see, verse 37, look at these last few words, began to be what? Sorrowful and heavy. So even though the Lord knew what was coming and knew that he would be proceeding into it and with it and following through, nonetheless, the human part of him was sorrowful and heavy. And that's part of the big lesson we're going to see here shortly. Verse 38, Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. There he actually says it, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch this phrase, and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, how important that is. We're thankful that we can open its pages, glean from the verses and the truths that you've put here for us. We pray that you'll help and guide us today. And we'll certainly thank you for what's accomplished. Help us to learn these important lessons we'll see today. Very good lessons on prayer. And so we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let me just check my file here to see if this is going to work for me. All right. So I'm gonna have to use this sheet to help guide us through here. So if I get ahead and miss a blank on the pages here, just let me know and we'll come back and what happened? Yeah, the highlights aren't there, so I'm not sure why that is. And I kind of need that to see what I'm gonna say. So that's my lesson. So don't worry about it, Mike. We tried. We'll just go through with it here. Thanks for trying. I appreciate that. It's really kind of annoying to have that happen, but I think we can launch right in. There's a first lesson here. Much of Peter's education was derived by being near the Lord Jesus and learning from his words and actions. Now, that's certainly true in today's lesson, but it's also true in other lessons that we've seen in the past. It's Peter being around the Lord, seeing him in action, listening to his words. And much of what Peter is learning in this school of discipleship that we're calling it is certainly coming by him being near the Lord. And how true that is for believers today, it's certainly a great example. It's a prime example for us. If we want to learn and to grow, we must spend time in the presence of the Lord. And that's what we see Peter and the other apostles here, is spending that time with the Lord as he's doing ministry, as he's being a great example, doing all those things. Again, if I seem to get ahead and have missed anything on the sheet, just call my attention to that, because I don't want to miss anything, and we'll certainly come back and get it. Well, with that in mind, let's get into the outline here. The first thing is this. We're going to see Jesus sorrowed. Jesus sorrowed. As I kind of alluded to, it's important for each believer to realize that Christ was fully man while being fully God. And do we understand that? Not really. It's kind of hard to wrap our brains around that in some sense. But we know that he was God. As such, he knew what was coming. He knew, of course, the future. He knew that the cross was there. He knew that he would rise again. He knew that he would pay the price for sinful man and so on. But on the flip side of that, as I mentioned a moment ago, his humanity allowed him to not only be tempted. There's verses in the Bible that tells us, I believe it's Hebrews, that he was tempted in all points as we are. But not only that, he sorrowed as we sorrow. He felt the pain. And the Bible tells us that he was exceedingly sorrowful there in our text in verse 38. Look at verse 38. Then saith he to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Wow, that's to say exceeding sorrowful. That's pretty heavy. And so there we see the Lord in that state. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hold your place there. Hebrews chapter 4. And it's good that I knew that we needed to turn there. Usually I've got that marked to tell us to turn. I don't have it marked because my marking didn't come through. But I happen to remember, yeah, I wanted to see this verse. This is a good verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. This is what I referenced a moment ago. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And so there's a great passage about that. Also, hold your place in Matthew, but go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. And verse number 3. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Of course, this was even before the birth of Christ, probably some 400 years prior, but look what it says, referring to Christ. He is despised and rejected of men. And here's the interesting phrase, a man of what? Sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So a very prophetic verse there, talking about the Lord, even way before he was born. So Jesus sorrowed. The Lord's response, this is our next point here, the Lord's response to sorrow was to take it to his heavenly Father. So we see him in our passage here. He goes up to pray into the garden. He asks Peter, James, and John, come with him. They go into the garden. He tells them to stay there, to watch and to pray. He goes a little further. When it says a little further, just a stone's throw away, not too far away, so they can see him. They're still in, can still make eye contact. And he's there praying, and he's taking his sorrow, the sorrow that he feels, he takes it to the Heavenly Father. Well, I made this little mention here. What a great example for us. That's our example. What do you mean? It means when we're sorrowful, when our spirit is heavy, when we're discouraged, when we're whatever negative, you want to fill in the blank there, we need to take it to our Heavenly Father. And all God's people said, amen. That's the example for us. And if we could stop the lesson now, we've learned a great lesson. If Jesus himself, the Son of God, felt like he needed to take his heaviness and his sorrow to the Heavenly Father, how much more we need to do the same when we're faced with trials, temptations, sorrows, whatever. And that's a great, great example for us. All right, so letter A then is the request to watch. This was the request that the Lord Jesus made to these three. And we see that in verse number 40. Verse 40, watch. There's actually in the Bible watchmen, what's called watchmen. I'm not going to advance the slide yet. I don't think I have that. Let me see here. I'm using this. Oh, yeah, we can go there. In Peter's first epistle, he calls us to be watchmen. There's the word, watchmen in prayer. That's 1 Peter 4:7. Let's take a look at that. That's why I put it on the slide. I want us to turn to it. So hold your place. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. Verse number 7, Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand, and then he gives this phrase, be ye therefore. What do you mean therefore? Well, because the end of all things is at hand, that's why. Be ye therefore sober, or seriously minded, and watch unto prayer. And so he calls us here to be watchmen in prayer. So one of the major functions of a watchman was to be able to watch out and to keep an eye out for danger. I think that's our next point here, actually. We need to watch out for our own sakes and for others who need to be warned away from actions that may have disastrous results. That was the idea of a watchman. There's a lot about it in the Old Testament. We could go to Ezekiel, other places where the watchman would go on a tower and he'd watch out for God's people, mainly approaching enemy or whatever, and he would alarm give the alarm and help to alert the people that something dangerous is coming, something dangerous is about to happen. So that's the request. The Lord says, look, watch. I want you to watch. And when they fell asleep, he said, couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Come on. He's like, you know, this is important. And so the second thing that we see is not only to watch, but also to pray. Watch and pray. The request to pray. Let's take a look at Luke's record of this in Luke 22, verse 40. Let's turn there together. Luke 22 and verse 40. I want us to see how Luke recorded it here, what the Lord said. Luke 22, verse 40. And when he was at the place, that's the garden, of course, he said unto them, pray, why? That you enter not into temptation. And then it says this, and when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, I mentioned that earlier, Matthew doesn't quite say it that way, but he went a little further, Matthew says, when that was just like a stone's toss away, just a little further away, he was still in the line of sight for the disciples. And so he asked them also to pray. So the Lord is about to teach Peter, James, and John that it was not enough just to watch, but that is also necessary to pray. It's also necessary to pray. This is an interesting statement here. I found this good. When we work, we work. But look at the next part. When we pray, God works. Amen. That's good. If it's on us, hey, we can only do so much. But when we pray, we get the Lord involved, then He works. And I really like that. He works. In everything, that's our next thing, in everything, we need the Lord. And then this one, prayer should be our what? First resort, not the last. But isn't that human temptation when we have trouble or whatever, or sorrow, or we're in a jam? We try this and it doesn't work. Okay, so we're going to try this. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, let's go find this out. Let's go check this. Oh, no, that didn't work either. Oh, we've tried all these things. You know what? Let's see if the Lord will help us. we can start praying about it. No, we should have prayed first. And we should take it to the Lord. That should be our first resort, not the last. And we should always just take it to the Lord. There's some great verses here, and I have to try to remember which ones I had highlighted. I want us to look at some of these. Luke 18. Hold your place in Matthew. Let's go to Luke 18. We're going to look at about four verses, maybe. There's more than that here, but we'll just look at about four. Great verses. Luke 18. This is along the line of the importance of not just watching, but praying. Luke 18, verse 1. And he, that's the Lord, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? Pray, and not to faint. Not to faint is important. We're going to talk about that here shortly, about weariness. Not to faint. Luke 21, just a few pages over. Luke 21 and verse number 36. Here we see both of the words that we've just looked at. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's see what else I want to see here. Ephesians 6. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 18, Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Here's this word again. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Boy, there's a lot of adverbs in there. The Lord telling us how to pray and how to watch. So important. Then let's look at one more. Colossians 4. So that's the next book. Well, Philippians, sorry, then Colossians. Colossians 4 and verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watch. So we see that quite often throughout the Scripture. Watch and pray. So he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier 1 Peter 4, 7. I'll just read it to you. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, which we saw that already a moment ago. So that's Jesus sorrowing. He came to the garden. He began to sorrow. His spirit was heavy. The Bible describes it even unto death. He was just so overwhelmed by what he knew was coming. So that leads us to the next thing. Oh, sorry, we got another point there. One of the greatest encouragements that we could ever give to other people is to let them know that we are praying for them.
Don't you like that? When someone says to you, I prayed for you. Just about, I can't say every single morning, but most mornings I'll send my wife a text to say good morning, and I've prayed for you this morning. Just to let her know I've prayed for you. And sometimes I don't say that, but I do pray for each and every day. And it's important, it's very encouraging when someone says to you or to me, hey, I'm praying for you. Now, on the flip side of that, if you say those words, I'm praying for you, make sure you do pray for them. Don't just say it. Sometimes we think it's a cool thing to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Well, did you really? If you tell someone you're praying for them, make sure that you actually do. And with that note, please pray for our missionaries. Amen. They need our prayer. And we should be able to say to them when they come and visit off the field on furlough, hey, I've been praying for you. And for them to hear that, that's a boost. That's a real charge for them. They'll love that. But we need to say it knowing that we really did pray for them. And it's a great thing. Let me see where we're at here in our slides. Okay, so now we're on number two. So Jesus sorrowed, but the disciples slept. The disciples slept. As is often the case, and we can relate to this. I mean, I can. I would assume you can too. As often the case, many times our flesh overcomes the spirit. The spirit is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. And such was the case here with these disciples. And, you know, our flesh doesn't like, listen, it does not like an hour-long prayer meeting. Our flesh doesn't like an all-night prayer meeting. Our flesh doesn't like 20-minute prayer. Our flesh resists anything spiritual. And we have to face up to that and understand that that is the case. Our flesh, in many times, oftentimes, is our greatest enemy. And many times when we ought to be working or we ought to be praying, our flesh will convince us, listen, of our fatigue. Oh, you're so tired, you need a break. And we'll give in to that little suggestion when we really need to be working and or praying. And so we have this opportunity to pray. We need to do so, not let the weariness take over. So there's the willingness of the Spirit, first of all. Yeah, the Spirit's willing. No doubt the disciples found this request from the Lord to be reasonable because they went with him to the garden and they heard what he said and they stayed there and they got ready to try to do it. I think that they were willing. They said, you know, what the Lord's asking us to be here, watch and to pray. Did he even say for an hour? I think he did. And so I'm sure they didn't think that this was an unreasonable request because they were very willing to do it. They undoubtedly planned to do exactly what the Lord was asking them to do. And so they went there, so far so good, and things are working out. But as we already know, it's the next point, they didn't quite follow through. But we too ought to listen to the Lord, we ought to follow the Lord, and we ought to stay close to the Lord. And that's what they did. That was good, that's commendable. The Lord said, hey, come with me, we're going to the garden. Okay, so they listened. He said, follow me, so they followed, and they stayed close to him. And then he asked them to watch and pray, and up to that point, everything was clicking along just fine. So far, so good. But we have to ask ourselves, how strong is our willingness? When the Lord asks us to walk with him, when the Lord asks us to follow him, when the Lord asks us, stay close to me, stay close. We need to have that willing spirit, just like they did, to follow, to stay close, to listen, and follow through with that. Very important as an example. Well, then, the weakness of the flesh. So, as I said, so far, so good. They've went with the Lord. They're there. They don't think it's unreasonable, the request that the Lord's making. But then the weariness or the weakness of the flesh takes over. The Spirit was willing, and that was good, but now we see the weakness of the flesh. Despite their good intentions to do what Jesus had requested, which was to watch and pray, Peter, James, and John gave in to their weariness and fell asleep. What's that teach us? Well, as long as we are in the world, we will have the constant conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And, you know, we've said things along those lines before. You know, when we got saved, the old man, the flesh, did not get eradicated. He's still there. He's still strong. He's still active. And Paul talked about this war within us, the spirit and the flesh. Button heads, if you please. And we have to continue to feed the spirit and to yield to the spirit so that we can have victory. So the weakness of the flesh. Let me see how far we need to go here. Go to the next point. It is imperative for believers to understand that our flesh, this is a good statement, our flesh will always lead us away from God and away from God's will. Watch this. And will always let us down spiritually. Isn't that right? Will always let us down spiritually. We sing a song. The author is, in fact, we're going to sing it this morning. It's our first song. No, it's Standing on the Promises, wrong one. There's a song, Stand Up for Jesus. And there's a line in there that says, the arm of flesh will fail you. Boy, that's so true. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. And so I'm trying to see. I had it highlighted. Of course, I don't have my highlights. There was a phrase, something about the very nature of the flesh. It's just, anyway, I stated this. It's unspiritual. It will lead us away from God. It will lead us away from God's will. It'll always let us down. All right, let's move on to number three. So Jesus sorrowed. The disciples, they were willing. Got off to a good start, but the flesh was weak. And they succumbed to the weariness that the devil suggested to them, that they just fell asleep. And then we see the disciples silenced. Having requested his three trusted disciples to watch and pray, Jesus came back to check on them twice. Both times he found them asleep. And both Matthew and Mark state that for whatever reason, Jesus singled out Peter, even though all three were asleep. Jesus spoke to Peter and said, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And interesting little phrase here. It says, for once, Peter had nothing to say. He's like, that's why the disciples were silenced. They knew they were guilty. They knew they should have done what the Lord said. And Peter always, you know, Peter always has something to say. But this time, the Lord scolds him, and he has nothing to say. But let's go on to letter A here. The heaviness was strong. Now, this is me on Sunday afternoon after church and after lunch. The heaviness, oh, my stars, I got to take a nap. It's so strong. That's okay on a Sunday afternoon after lunch, after church, after lunch. But in this instance, it was not okay. The Lord specifically asked them to watch and to pray, but their eyes were heavy. Both Matthew and Mark tell us, with the disciples oblivious to his presence, Jesus finally just let them sleep. And he says, you know, he tells them there, sleep on. Where was that? Yeah, verse number 45. Then cometh he to his disciples, this is the second time, saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour has come. It's now time. It's too late to watch and pray. The time is here now. And you might as well just go ahead and sleep. So, but what did they miss? This is interesting, some interesting observations here. By being asleep and missing really what the Lord was doing, what did they miss? And this is interesting because I've said this to you before. Let me see the clock here. Yeah, I've said to you before, I hate missing church. Because Joe and I have talked about this. What if something just, the Lord shows up in an unusual way? Or what if somebody walks out and gets saved? Or what if some young man is called to preach? Or what if God has a great truth to speak to my heart about, and I needed that? What if, and I just don't want to miss it. If any of those things happens, I want to be here. And I hate it when someone says, oh man, the service, you missed it, it was so good. Boy, God showed up and this happened, that happened. I'm like, oh. Of course, now they say, oh, you can go back and watch it on YouTube or whatever. It's not the same. It's not the same. Praise the Lord for that, just to hear the message for like people that are shut in, etc. But it's just not the same as being in the service. And boy, I don't want to miss it. And so what did these guys miss by falling asleep? Well, certainly they missed seeing a marvelous session of prayer by the Lord. They missed the Son of God pouring out his very heart to the Father. They missed overhearing his example of total surrender when he said, not my will, but thine. Wow. They missed an opportunity to later discuss among themselves the things the Lord had been teaching them. They missed all of that. They missed an opportunity to revel in the privilege they had to be so close to the Lord during this monumental time. All of that was missed. Now, the unavoidable aspect of missed opportunity is this. We don't realize when we've missed it. When we miss an opportunity, we really don't realize that we missed the opportunity. I mean, unless someone tells us later, but we don't even know we missed it. And so we have to understand that Christ has great blessings available to us through the privilege of prayer. And these guys fell asleep. They could have watched. They could have prayed. They could have joined in the ministry of prayer with their Lord. They could have seen him praying to the Father. They could have heard the words. So much that could have happened there. Blessings, huge blessings, but they missed it. And that's a shame. We must be on guard that we do not allow our weariness to keep us from what we... Well, that's actually a point here, I think. Yeah. We must be on guard that we do not allow our weariness to keep us from what we need so desperately. The very thing that will give us strength. And what is that? It's prayer. Prayer. When Satan tempts us to be silent, we must remember that God wants us to commune with him. God always wants to hear our voice. And Satan will tempt us to be silent. Sometimes it's through simply heaviness. Do you often find yourself, your heaviness so strong? And when it comes to fellowshipping and serving God, you find yourself to be, you know, so heavy with weariness or whatever. And we have to fight against that. We need to then call out on God for strength to do what he's called us to do, what he's asked us to do. We need to come to the Lord and get the strength that we need to follow through. And of course, the disciples did not do that. Well, the heaviness was strong. The hour was come. Jesus said in verse 45, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The time had come for Jesus to allow himself, notice those words, he allowed himself to be taken. For the disciples, everything that they had known about the Lord was about to be destroyed, seemingly, even though the prophets foretold all of these things, they weren't putting it all together. But Luke, in his account, finishes the story with this saying, with Jesus saying, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. With temptation rampant in the world today, one of our greatest needs is our need to rise and pray. That's found in Luke. Those exact words are found in Luke's account of the story. All right, we're right on schedule. Let's get these 2 points here in the conclusion. That wasn't so bad. I managed to navigate through that lesson without my highlights. Thank you, Lord. With Christ's help, we can accomplish this task that is commanded of every believer. What is that? To draw close to the God and to pray without ceasing. First Thessalonians tells us, we don't have time to turn there, but it just simply says, one of the shortest verses in Scripture, pray without ceasing. And then this last statement, when we do that, when we draw close to the Lord and we pray, then we can experience the richness and renewal of time spent with Him. And He's got those blessings for us. All right, thank you for your time. Let's take a break. We'll get ready for church.